Well, good morning on this Mother's Day. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Just hold it there. Genesis 21. Thank you for the privilege once again of opening the book of God, the people of God. We know these words are always a savor of life to life to all who receive them. You know, Mother's Day for many people, especially my generation, conjures up all sorts of images of a sort of a Norman Rockwell kind of world. Now, for those of you who do not know who Norman Rockwell was, and that'd probably be about half this congregation, he was one of the great painters of American history, and especially in the 50s and 60s, all those beautiful paintings of Americana. And on Mother's Day, I'm thinking of that one that he pictures where there's this beautiful St. Augustine grass yard with a little white picket fence around it, and a mother and a father, and their two little kids going off. The little girl's got a little petticoat on. They're walking off to this white steeple church on this beautifully clean street. And Norman Rockwell painted about that type of a thing in America where everybody lived sort of happily ever after. But when we awaken to Mother's Day 2012, we awaken to a completely different world. You know, God's ideal is still one man for one woman for life. And so the church's challenge is that we don't live in Disney World. All the streets aren't paved and spotless clean. There's not an ice cream store on every corner. And everybody doesn't, let's be honest, live happily ever after. We live in a real world where a lot of folks have dreams that are dashed and hopes that are smashed. And so what is the church to do? The church is to build a wall as high and as thick as we can at the edge of that cliff to keep everybody we can from falling off of that cliff into the destruction of the home in America. But at the same time, the church in the 21st century world has to have an ambulance down there at the bottom ready to pick up and bandage up lives that have been wounded and lives that are hurting. I grew up in a world when I was a little kid that watched a lot of programs on television about the family. Make Room for Daddy was one of them. Daddy, Father Knows Best was another one. And, you know, truth of the matter is there are a lot of homes around your church today and in all of our Western world where Dad isn't there. And you know what? It's not always Dad's fault. Now, I'm speaking about mothers today, but I'm very cognizant of the fact that just because this is Mother's Day, that doesn't mean there are not a lot of dads that are victims of heartache and destruction themselves. And so children today, they're not watching programs like Father Knows Best and Make Room for Daddy and the Cleavers and all those nuclear families we saw as kids. Kids today, if they're watching television shows about the family, they're watching a program called Modern Family, where different types of family structures, some of which that are foreign to the Word of God, are presented as perfectly ideal and perfectly right. Or they're watching shows like Desperate Housewives, or so many of these other shows that depict such unusual images of the home. You know, for many, Mother's Day is a tough time. There are a lot of people that hurt more than any other day on Mother's Day. I was always, as a pastor for over a quarter of a century, cognizant of that fact. I knew, if I was preaching on Hannah on Mother's Day, like a lot of people are today, she prayed for a child and God gave her the child. I thought about, what about all those moms out there that did the same thing? And they hear the story of Hannah, and they say to themselves, you know, I prayed for a child. Just like Hannah, but God didn't answer my prayer like he did hers. Some people preaching today on the Shunammite woman over in the Old Testament, who had a child who was sick. And she prayed, and God delivered that child, and it shows the fortitude of a praying mother. But you know, I always knew that there were women in the church. They had a child that was sick too. And they prayed just as fervently as that Shunammite woman. But they lost their child. Some people are preaching on Mary today. Now, there's a model of a mother. But she had some kids besides Jesus. Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus. And they got rebellious. They verbally came against Jesus, their own half-brother, and called him crazy. And she knew. She had been pondering those things in her heart. But they came back. James, his half-brother, became the leader of the church at Jerusalem and gave you the book of James that's in your Bible. He grew up in the same home Jesus did. Jesus was his big brother there in Nazareth. But I also knew there were women that I'd be preaching to that hadn't seen their kids come back yet, that were still out there. So it's a difficult time for a lot of people. So today what I want to do is bring a mom up on center stage that I guarantee you is not being preached about in any other church in the country today on Mother's Day. And her name is Hagar. And her story is found here in Genesis chapter 21. And begin reading in verse 14 with me. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with a child, and sent her away. Now, I'm speaking to some folks. Do you know that within five blocks of this church, there are a lot of modern-day Hagars who've been sent away, who've been abandoned? And so he sent her away, and she departed and just wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes, under the trees. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not look on the death of my child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. You know, there are a lot of people within a bow shot of this church today that are out there weeping on a Mother's Day. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift him up and hold him fast in your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy to drink. And God was with the boy. And he grew up, and he lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow, and he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Here is a woman who teaches us how to overcome. Here is a woman who has a word today, not just for mothers, but especially for single moms or single dads who are here today, who are out there trying to do what she did, trying to lift your child up, trying to take them by the hand and lead them through some desperate, perhaps, and maybe some very difficult times. She's young. She's a young mom. She's attractive. She's hardworking. Her husband abandoned her and her son. She lost her job. Her family was a long way away. They couldn't help. She had no friends around. But God came to her rescue. So what I'd like for us to do on this Mother's Day 2012 is to think about those that we've been called to reach that are around here. Perhaps they're not here today on this Mother's Day. Perhaps you are here. But there are three things that unfold to me in the exposition of these verses. And they show us, first of all, the plight of many modern mothers or dads. Secondly, they show us the fight of many modern moms or dads. And third, they show us the might of many modern moms or dads that are out there raising their children, particularly in a single home parent and family environment. First of all, I want us to look at the plight of some of these folks who live around your church on this Mother's Day, moms. Look at the plight of many modern mothers. We see it in verses 14 through 16. We're introduced to her in verse 14. I want you to see her there. See her hurting. Verse 14. See her hurting. Her husband gave her some bread, a little provision. They gave her a skin of water. That's all he gave her. And put it on her shoulder along with the child, his own son, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. See her hurting? Her fate was not her fault. Do you know there are a lot of single parents out there, their fate is not their fault. In Hagar's instance, what brought about this? It was Abraham's impulsiveness. Her husband's ability not to believe God's promise to him. You remember what God had promised Abraham when he was over there in Ur of the Chaldees, when he left? He and his wife Sarah, who was barren, they couldn't have children, but God promised him he was going to have a child, and that seed would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, and that seed would produce the coming Messiah. And Abraham had that promise from God. And every night he looked at the stars and he'd think, my seed will be numbered like the stars of the heavens. But they couldn't have children. And instead of waiting on God for his perfect timing, instead of believing God's promise, Abraham took it upon himself to produce his own son. And so he took Hagar, this attractive, beautiful Egyptian lady. He took her into his home, and they produced a son, Ishmael. And so what we find here in chapter 21, the plight of many modern mothers, it's not necessarily her fault. Her fate came upon because of Abraham's impulsiveness. And look at those words in verse 14. He sent her away. Tough words. He sent her away. That little boy loved his daddy, but his daddy sent him away. Here is the plight of many modern mothers today. See them hurting. They're on their own. Nobody to fix the car if it breaks down. Nobody to fix that faucet if it's leaking back there in the bathroom. And look what it says in verse 14. She wandered. She had no direction in life, didn't know where she was going. Do you know that Hagar is living all around this church? She's hurting out there today. She's been sent away. She's been abandoned. And she's just wandering with no real direction. She's hurting. See her hurting. Second thing I want you to see in the plight of these many modern mothers is we not only see her hurting in verse 14. If we read verse 15, we see her hungry. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. She now had run out of bread and run out of water. She had depleted her resources, and now we see her hungry. Her resources are gone. In verse 14, she's at the end of herself emotionally. She's hurting. Now in verse 15, she's at the end of herself physically. Her resources are gone. Do you see her hungry? Do you know there are a lot of single moms in our world and in our area that are one paycheck away from being homeless with their children? I could take you this morning over to the Dallas Life Foundation, our rescue homeless shelter that First Baptist Church Dallas has downtown. We sleep 400 people a night there, feed 2,000 people every day. On the second floor, it's nothing but rooms for single moms and their children, and it is filled every night. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, most of them had an apartment somewhere, and they're just one paycheck away from being on the street. It's the plight of many modern mothers. Do you see them while we come together today on Mother's Day? Do you see them hurting? Do you see them hungry? She's hurting, Hagar, without protection. Now she's hungry without provision. If you look in the next verse, you see her plight is not only you don't see her just hurting and hungry, you see her hopeless. Look at verse 16. She's about giving up hope now. She went and sat down opposite him a good way, about a distance of Boshot away. She put him under a bush. And she said, I just don't even want to look on the death of my child. He's dying. I can't take it. And she sat opposite him, and she lifted up her voice and wept. You see her hopeless. That's the plight of many modern mothers. She didn't want her boy to see her crying. So she put him under a tree, and she went a bow shot away, good way away off. She could still see him, but she went over there, so, and she poured out her heart and wept, but she didn't want him to see her crying. Anybody identify with that? Is there anybody here today that put your kids to bed, and then you went in your own room and shut the door and just wept? I want to tell you something. If you haven't done that, there are people all over the walking distance of this church who've done that this week. This is the world in which we live. It's not a world where everybody's living happily ever after. It's the real world, and this is the plight of many modern mothers on this Mother's Day. They're hurting, they're hungry, and some of them are hopeless. But if we read on in the text, we not only see the plight of many modern mothers, we see the fight of many modern mothers. Verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, I want you to see her expectations. Look at verse 17. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is." Do you see her expectations? Now there's a ray of hope. There's a ray of hope. Now she's got some expectations. Now she's going to fight. This is the fight of many modern mothers. Who is this angel of the Lord in verse 17? This is what we call in theological jargon a Christophany. A Christophany is a visit to earth by the pre-incarnate Christ before Bethlehem. He came. You know, Jesus didn't just show up at Bethlehem. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word, was with God, and was God. And verse 14 says, "And the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us." But he didn't just become the Word at Bethlehem. He was in the beginning with God. And there are certain times in the Old Testament when we see him show up. And we call it a Christophany. It is a visit of the pre-incarnate Christ. That's what happened here. It doesn't say an angel of the Lord. It says the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus. Now, you remember the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace? There was a Christophany there. There was a visit of the pre-incarnate Christ there. Remember, they were in the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar went down and looked in and said, "What in the world?" He said, "How many men did you throw in there?" And he said, "Three." He said, "Well, there are four in there. And the fourth is like the Son of Man." Jesus got in that burning fiery furnace with them. That's what's happening here. Jesus showed up to Hagar. Came and visited her. You know, Jesus never promised you that he'd keep you out of the fiery furnace. But he did promise he'd get in there with you. And that's what's happening. So here she is. He shows up when hope was almost gone. That's what he usually did. And look what it says. He heard the prayers and the cries of the boy. Now that's interesting. You know, he hears our children when they pray, because they pray without all of the baggage and all the other things that we have. They just come to him in simple childlike faith. That's why he said, if anybody's going to come after me, they've got to come like a little child in this simple childlike faith. And that little boy was calling out to God. And God heard the prayers of that little boy. Now, do you see her expectations here? Anyone need to hear those words she heard in verse 17? Fear not, for God has heard your prayers. If you read on in verse 18, you'll not only see her expectations, you'll see her encouragement. Look what it says in verse 18. Lift up the boy and hold him with your hand, and I will make him a great nation. See her encouragement? There are many who are fighting today to lift up their kids. Lift up that boy. Do you know how this is the fight of many modern mothers today on this Mother's Day? They're out there fighting to lift up their kids, to lift them up over their heartaches, to lift them up over the confusion and the disappointment, to lift them up over the environmental circumstances and where they are, to lift them up. It's the fight of many modern mothers. Do you know how many kids have never been lifted up by a mom or a dad? Do you know how many kids around your church have never been lifted up? You know what they've heard? You're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. I wish you didn't even have my name. No wonder they turn out like they do. This is not just the plight of many modern mothers. This is the fight that's going on out there among many mighty moms. They have expectations. They've got a ray of hope. They have encouragement. They're lifting up their kids. How important that is. Our daughters will testify to you that I don't believe there was a day in their life when they were growing up that my wife and I didn't try to lift them up, and they didn't hear these words before they went to bed: "I'm proud to be your dad." She lifted him up. See her encouragement in verse 18. Look in verse 18. See her example and hold him by the hand. What do you do when you hold somebody by the hand? You walk with them. You show them the way. See her example here. She not only lifted him up above the circumstances and the situations and gave him hope, but now she takes him by the hand and leads him by her example and walks with him and shows him the way. This is the fight of many modern mothers. They have expectations. They're trying to encourage. They're seeking to live by example. Dads and moms that are all around us. So we see the plight of many of them. They're hurting and they're hungry. They're hopeless. But then we see the fight. And finally, in verses 19 through 21 on this Mother's Day, I want you to see the might. Where do they get their strength? Where do they get their power? How do they overcome? These dads, these moms that are raising single children, where is the might of these modern families and parents that are single? First of all, I want you in verse 19 to see her provision. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well. She saw a well. A well of water, and she went and filled the skin of water and gave the boy a drink. Now know what happened. Abraham gave her a skin of water and God gave her a well. She saw a well. She saw the provision she had ever need. Now get the picture. There was no provision, and yet all the while there was a well there. She just hadn't noticed it. She hadn't seen it. But it was there. Do you know that this is the might of many modern moms? There's provision there they just haven't seen. There's a source there they just haven't seen. And God opened her eyes and showed her a well. That's what he wants to do with some of you who are here today. If the well was there all along, she just didn't see it. God wants to show you a well. And there it was. But you know what? She still had to draw from it. She still had to drink. She still had to pass the cup to her kid. Here's the might of many modern mothers. See their provision. It's supernatural. God will come alongside them. God will show them a well. Secondly, see her promise in verse 20. God was with the boy and he grew up. God was with the boy and he grew up. God is always on the side of those who some say were outcasts, or some would say been rejected, or some would say been abandoned, or some who would say were disadvantaged. God is always on your side. How about that woman at the well? She had to come draw water from that well at noon in the middle of the day because she was despised and no one. But Jesus came to her side, said, "If you drink from the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again." How about the woman taken in adultery? When everybody was accusing her, about to stone her to death, and the Lord came to her side. He's always on the side of the outcasts and the rejects. Always on the side of those who've been put out or who've been disadvantaged. Always. Oh, what about when he went to Jericho? He didn't go to the mayor's office, try to get a picture with the mayor of Jericho. What did Jesus do? He went to the side of the road to a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, disadvantaged, abandoned on the side of the road, and gave him his full attention. God was with the boy and he grew up. Hagar had supernatural help in raising her son. Hear me, single parent. God gave her supernatural ability in raising that child. He still does that. See her promise. See her provision. And by the way, parenthetically, if you're the child of a single parent, don't be jealous of those other kids who got two parents, because I want to tell you something. God has a way of giving advantage to you. God has a way of coming along your side. God has a way of lifting you up. God has a way of supernaturally coming to your side, just like he did Ishmael here, and giving you advantage. Don't be jealous of anybody. You get in this and see the might that God will give you in circumstances and situations like this. He's with you and he's for you. And there's a final thing I want you to see in the might of these mighty, many modern moms. We see her provision in verse 19, her promise in verse 20. We see her persistence in verse 21. So he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. She went on and had an everlasting influence on this boy. She stayed with him. She kept lifting him up. She kept holding him by the hand till it came time for him to get married. And then she found a wife for him and she let him go to his wife. See her persistence here. She stayed with him. She kept at it. She kept lifting him up. She kept holding him by the hand all the way until it was time to let him go. She went on and had a lasting influence on this boy. And you know, there's an interesting sideline to this. We find four chapters later in Genesis 25, Abraham, his father, died. And Isaac, the son of choice. The Bible says in Genesis 25:9 that Ishmael and Isaac, both of these boys, went back and buried their daddy. Ishmael went back and buried his father. He went back to show respect for that daddy who had abandoned him because of a mother's influence. Because she lifted him up and she held him by the hand. This is what's going on around us. This is what's going on all around us on this Mother's Day. Remember, we're not living in a Norman Rockwell world. And as much as we'd love it, all of our homes don't have little white picket fences. And not, we don't all live happily ever after. All around us, there's the plight of a lot of modern moms. See them hurting? Know what it is like Hagar to be sent away? See them hungry, wondering what they're going to do on the first? How they're going to provide? See them hopeless, closing that door and weeping their heart out, hoping their kids don't hear them. That's the plight of what's going on. If we're going to be the church that's going to reach a world for Christ, we got to realize that's the world in which we live. See the fight of these many modern moms. They're up there. They're fighting. See their expectations. They've got some expectations for their kids. See their encouragement. They're trying to lift them up. See their example. They're holding them by the hand. And see where their might comes. God will show them a well. God will show them a well. See their provision. See their promise. God will be with their kids. And see their persistence. They go on. And they find their might in Christ. Maybe somebody here today is like Hagar. By that I mean wandering. out there in a wilderness and no real direction in life, no real purpose in life. God will show you well if you'll have eyes to see it. It's been there all along. Some of us have just never seen it. God will show you a well, and if you'll drink from that well, he said, the water that I give you will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you can drink from that well today. Maybe some of you here today need to pass the cup to somebody near you or next to you who's never drunk, who's never seen that well. Hagar took the boy by the hand and led him. Maybe somebody needs to do that today. I remember when I was preaching in Fort Lauderdale years ago in our church there. There was a man there who did not know Christ on a Mother's Day like this, seated with his wife and his little boy. And I remember watching that little boy take his daddy by the hand and push him out in the aisle and bring his daddy down that aisle, and by the time his daddy got to the altar, tears were streaming down his cheeks. Jesus said, a little child would lead us. Maybe there's somebody with you today, you need to do what Hagar did, or what that little boy did. Take somebody by the hand. Show them a well that will never run dry. Let's bow our hearts together as we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this room. Some of you are here and never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Come this morning. He'll show you a well. And you can drink from that well and you will never thirst again. And Jesus said, the water that I've given to you will be in you a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Some of you need to come make a public pledge of your life to Christ. Some of you may need to come join this church. Maybe there's somebody here today who needs to reach out and take somebody by the hand and say, let's go God's way. I'll go with you. Let's go together and bring your friend to Christ. Or maybe you're here by yourself, say, preacher, I don't know what I need. I know I need something. No, you need someone. He'll show you a well on this Mother's Day. Drink from it. God will lead you. Our ministers are here at the front. We stand right now and we sing. You be first. What a morning.